just the name, some that I would have to see. Then there's a list twice that size that I'd be pretty happy to see. Mm-hmm. I haven't even talked about a headliner yet.
My question is, when are we going to finally pack it up and go to Louisville and go to this thing? We have been, our jaw's been on the floor 3 years in a row looking at these lineups. Louisville ain't that far.
It sucks we're having another year of which is the next festival to have a better lineup than Bonnaroo.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. We are tentatively calling this a road episode, and it's going to be a stretch, but I'm going to make it work as best that I can.
Well, it started that way.
You'll understand here in a little bit, but Brian has been traveling. That's Brian. I'm Barry. I just got back from traveling to South Georgia, and I can confirm, boys, before I even introduce Russ, Atlanta traffic sucks.
Sucks. Yes, in very much.
Every way possible.
Yeah, you didn't take the, did you take the 285 roundabout?
No.
Or did you go right through? Yeah, see, I don't know what the best decision there is because neither work well.
We've always been told go straight through.
And the I'll best decision what. Is whichever one you don't take. If you take 285, it's going to be backed up. If you take go through 75, it's going to be backed up.
I did want to mention that other than just, so you know what my weekend was like nobody cares. But when I was down there, when I put all my stuff in the bedroom, my daughter Grace, who you both know, who's been to Bonnaroo many times, worked for AC Entertainment back in the day, bought me a photo album of Danny Clinch photos, which is nice. Awesome to begin with. Danny is one of the people, I think, Rush, you can confirm. I said, that's one of the guys I want to have as a guest in my dream world. And we managed to get him on. And the photo album is amazing, but it also has Jim James on the cover, which was like a double, great thing for me. So pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that was, you say photo album, like we're talking like a coffee table book kind of
coffee table book. Got fold outs of, I think, Eddie Vedder's even one of the centerfolds. I'll show it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, for years, Clinch, I mean, he was a 90s photog and he was Pearl Jam's and Eddie Vedder's specific photographer for many of their years. And then, of course, the early years of Bonnaroo, that was all Clinch. Blind Melon back in the day, long gone these days, but lots of bands I loved. Radiohead, as he discussed with you guys on the show two and a half years ago. Danny Clinch touches a lot of generations and a lot of different genres of music. It's pretty impressive stuff.
I have to say probably Springsteen is his most famous. You would argue Vedder, of course, but for people who just don't know, I mean, the picture you've seen of Bruce Springsteen in the leather walking down the street with the snowflakes all around him, that's Danny. And he told us on the show about how that happened. I think that was what he was waiting. He was late or Bruce was late and he was like, come down, this street, blah, blah, blah. And as he's walking, he takes some pictures and he's like, okay, I'm done. I got what I need, but now I have an hour and a half or whatever it was to kill. How do I keep taking pictures? So.
Yeah, I'd put Springsteen on a bigger global level than Eddie Vedder for sure. So,
I admit I wasn't familiar with the name Danny Clinch, but when I looked up his body of work, I was like, oh, I know all these pictures. I've seen every single one of these. I didn't realize, okay, that's who that was. Okay, so if you don't know the name, I guarantee you've seen some of these pictures.
Yeah, well, thank you for teeing that up because that's my Danny. I have met him. Even before we talked, I was outside of media, and our friend Ken Weinstein, who we've talked about many, many times, friend of the show, the originator of Never Not Great, was outside talking to some guy who was taking pictures of a toddler in the media area. And I walked up, and he said, hey, Barry, Danny? And I'm like, hi, Danny. Nice to meet you. I walked back inside, and our friend Nate Gale, photographer for the What Podcast for many, many years, said, Danny Clinch is here. Danny Clinch is here. It's like,
yeah. And you know, I didn't want to act stupid. Danny Clinch is here. Danny Clinch is here. Yeah. Like a little kid on Christmas morning. He's a big Clinch guy as a, you know, being a photog himself. So, yeah.
And so, you know, me, I'm like, oh, cool. Nice. And then I looked him up and I'm like, I just met that guy.
Oh, my God.
It's an awesome book. I'll share it with you guys. I'll send some pictures. Obviously, I'm mentioning it now because I love Danny's work, but also I'm hoping to get a, you know, get him to sign it one day. Because it's really, really cool.
Yeah, that can happen.
I mentioned the road. Brian, you just got back from Las Vegas, where you were visiting with another friend of the show, another regular on the show, Beth.
Yeah, I'll go through it pretty quickly. It was a fun little short, action-packed, fast weekend for Valentine's Day. Beth Thorpe, who does some photography for this show and for many other outlets, Pacific Northwest and with Nashville.com. And... It was lightning fast, but time stood still a little bit more than it normally does for me, which is amazing because normally time just is disappearing out of my life. And Beth loves Vegas, and she doesn't drink anymore, and has not had a drinking like issue in her life, and that's it's just come and gone. But she doesn't really drink much. Unlike myself and maybe all of us and every person listening to this show. And so she doesn't really drink, never done any drugs, and doesn't gamble. And so it's, wow.
Naturally. Like,
Vegas, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love this too, but I didn't really connect the dots. It's all the old aesthetic of the mid-century phenomenon of Las Vegas, downtown, old Las Vegas, old downtown, I guess they call it, Fremont Street for the most part. And boy, it is neat. Like all that neon and all those old signs and all that stuff you remember seeing in movies and stuff. And you lived through the era, Barry, and whether it looked interesting or not to you or not, it certainly was different than anything else. So that was really cool. When I was there for the Dead 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago, we were at the Strip, where there's pyramids and fire flying out of the sky and water fixtures and just endless new development. Now, impressive, to be sure, impressive new development. The Sphere is over there, the new football stadium for the Raiders. I saw where they're going to put the new baseball stadium for the A's. But boy, that place sucks. Never want to be there again. It's Disneyland for adults. Over the other side, we had a big time, a lot of fun. Stayed at an old... casino hotel, one of the oldest ones, or not the oldest one from that side of town, and maybe mm-hmm. the entire town. El Cortez is the name of it. A lot of 1940s gangster ties. A lot of that's lore, I think. A lot of tall tales.
It's the not to interrupt, but forgive me, but it's the Godfather, the Mo Green, the whole we're taking over Las Vegas. The mob's out. We're coming.
There are ties. It's not like this is all made up.
Oh, no.
I'm not
That's
questioning.
What made Vegas.
I know. I'm not questioning the story, except the story's really started to get taller and taller and taller. You know, like, okay. Yeah, that room right over there. Okay, sure. Whatever, guys. I'll play along. What a story.
Yeah. Al Capone slept in that very bed twice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Your room is this room. Yeah, okay, whatever. But, no, I loved it. Loved it. The aesthetic was gorgeous. Fremont is just a electrified version of Bourbon Street. It's just for partying. And so mm-hmm. that got old pretty quick. So we hit the road, rented a car, ran around, went to Hoover Dam just because. Been there before, but love to see it again on a beautiful day. And then the last day on Valentine's Day, we were trying to get out of town. And driving around the desert out there is really fun. I don't like to drive, but just driving in that, and you can see Vegas everywhere you go. You're an hour away and like, oh, hey, there's a city because there's nothing else there.
Wow. Yeah, so and it's flat.
It's flat and it's just rolling desert. So it's such a cool dynamic. Like the whole time you never get Vegas out of your sight, but we're 60 miles away. It's just something I've never really seen before. But quickly and then, you know, wrap it up here because we didn't do a whole lot as far as shows and all those things, which we can come back to, but the Valley of Fire we went to, and it is gorgeous. If you're on YouTube or watching us on Spotify, it's it is is mesmerizing how cool this area is. And just to give you an idea, if you're listening to audio only right now, it's 46,000 acres is this state park, the very first state park that that was designated in Nevada in 1968. It's not open in the summer because it's just too hot there. It's only a fall and spring attraction. But they filmed many movies there. Two of them that would be most well-known to anybody who possibly might generationally fit into our demographic is Star Trek Generations in the 90s. I never watched that show, but it sound, you know, on planets and stuff. That's where they recorded that or filmed some of that. And then the Mars scene, which I had to go back and refresh my memory from Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
In the 80s, pre-Terminator, so before he, Terminator 2, I mean, so before he really skyrocketed, Total Recall was really popular in those days, and so they filmed some of that there, too. So that was wild and really, really, really fun, and that was pretty much the weekend, but didn't really have any time for some shows, even though there were plenty to be seen.
I was gonna ask because during our pre-show meeting, which technically was me trying to get through Atlanta and it didn't work, but we had some conversations and I asked that very question and you said one of the ones that was in residence and everybody, I think people know in Vegas, one of the things they do are these residencies. Everybody from who? Usher, I mean, Dolly Parton. Yeah, they do these. But the one you, what'd you say, thought about for a minute till you saw the price was
exactly.
Def Leppard.
Yeah. Def Leppard. They were doing a residency at one of the casinos. I don't even know where, probably on the Strip. And I thought, you know, Def Leppard every night. But right before the grunge movement destroyed 80s hair, I was 12. Yeah. And, I mean, all the 80s hair bands have roughly the same story. Smells Like Teen Spirit hits, and then our career crashes within a year.
That and Spinal Tap. Crushed them, just destroyed all of them.
Yeah, well, yes, because of the, yeah, of course. So I was a big Def Leppard guy as a 10, 11, 12-year-old. Pyromania, Hysteria, Adrenalize, High and Dry, all those old records, I know them very, very well, more than a 10-year-old at that time you would have ever expected. So I would love to see Def Leppard, but we're talking $150, $160 a night, and, you know, it wasn't going to happen.
Well, after that conversation, as I said, I had time to think. And so at that time, I would have been at the paper. I was a young journalist working for the paper, looking to write entertainment. So one of my jobs was to go and write reviews for these concerts. So I got to see all of the Def Leppard concerts that came through here, Pyromania, Hysteria, all that stuff. As a fan, I was more into the new wave punk stuff, didn't like the spandex hair stuff. But I can tell you the Def Leppard shows were awesome. They were so much fun.
I might be biased because I was such a fan, but I feel like Def Leppard was a far more polished, better rock band than a lot of those 80s bands. Like Poison?
Name it.
I mean, come on. Def Leppard's way on another level than Poison.
They were way better, but in my mind, they got lumped into that. And I had to look it up. Rick Allen. I mean, I remember the car crash. I remember when that news hit.
The drummer who lost his arm.
Drummer who was driving his Stingray way too fast, lost his arm, and then created a way to use a double pedal with his drum to mimic what he had. And it's interesting because I can remember the stories being like, is it going to be a gimmick? And, you know, them, the band saying, that's not what we want. We are serious musicians. So that was sort of the mindset I had when I went and saw one of their shows. So I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be another hair band. It was incredible. Yeah. I've been a fan. I have all of their vinyl. I love Def Leppard. Yeah, and if you can see them, definitely see them.
They rocked really good. And they had it. But they when we were talking Record Store Day releases the other week, they have a Record Store Day release this year for their album Slang that they released in 1996.
Okay.
And it was the absolute dunzo-gonzo moment for Def Leppard until the rebirth of the nostalgia play because it was awful and it sounded like grunge music, but really bad. really, really, really bad. And they, it was complete, it was a, probably a record company push, like, hey, we need a different sound. It was awful. And I'm guessing that they're, it's, you know, whatever the years are now, it's now part of the Record Store Day release. And I'm sure super fans are like, remember this piece of crap? Well, yeah, I now have it in my collection. So, but yeah, so I thought about it long and hard, and then quickly the Sphere has this long residency of a IMAX style show, for lack of a better way of putting it, of Wizard of Oz. I actually really like the movie Wizard of Oz from my childhood, but for about $230 or so odd dollars a ticket and a $50 or $60 Uber ride to the other side of town, and then drinks and whatever else there, we're talking 20% more than my hotel for the weekend cost. I don't need to see Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. You know how it ends.
I know exactly how it ends.
If you don't, call me.
I know exactly how it ends. I know exactly. So, but anyway, it was a wonderful time in Vegas. Absolutely. Beth loved it as well, too.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
All right, and welcome back. I wanted to give a quick thanks again to John, who joined Russ and I while Brian was in Las Vegas. John joined us.
Thanks for jumping in, John. Appreciate that.
To talk about The Wear. And Russ, I think you and I talked about when it was over, and I've reconfirmed my thoughts. I did not expect a conversation about The Wear lineup to have that much meat, but it did.
It did. He was a great guest. He knew what he was talking about, and he was pretty well received. I'm sure we will have him back on at some point.
And, yes.
Especially being a Chattanooga local. I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
Actually, I wish he wasn't. I wish he was from, like, Bangkok or something exotic so we could claim it. We didn't pick him. We didn't know he was from Chattanooga. But no. He was terrific, and he did know his stuff, does know his stuff, and as I teased him, the lawyers are drawing up paperwork. He will be back as a semi-regular, I hope, if he'll do it.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. But he was great. I was especially intrigued at his idea that Bonnaroo has maybe strayed from their lane by getting too many different types of EDM acts. I just found that fascinating. And I know, Brian, that has to hit you because you've been there since the beginning when everybody said, man, they're not a jam band festival anymore. Now he's like, man, they're not the EDM festival that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Listen,
and he admitted it. I mean, I think.
Well, and because the jam is the same way, they started venturing out into different types of jam. They didn't label them as much as EDM does, but they're, you know, yeah, absolutely. That evolution was very, very similar. It really is striking that jam and EDM kind of yin and yang comparison from one era to the next and how similar they are. Sorry, EDM people, y'all ain't gonna be there forever in the way that you want it to be, because that's just how things go with popular music. Right now it's still sticking, it's still working, but it does feel like, and I don't know this, but I have seen people talk about that very thing, that how many different like kind of subgenres there are and how and then them talking about whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong. I don't know. Sorry, or care. But it's an interesting discussion because that's what, you know, that's what subgenres do, is they argue and debate about what is and isn't pure and what is and isn't acceptable. And that's, it's all subjective. And it's a fun conversation as long as you're not a bunch of jerks about it.
It is an immensely fun conversation, especially as the old man, you know, sitting here. And I will tie it all together because Def Leppard is arguably, undeniably a legacy act. Would you say that the Strokes are a legacy act?
I was just thinking this the other day, Barry. I absolutely was. I don't remember why exactly, just because I'm just often thinking about random stuff. I was thinking as I was breaking down the headliners, you know, Rufus Del Sol would be great on 9 o'clock on The Witch on a Saturday, not the main thing on Saturday. Noah Kahan would be great if it was the whatever it here and not the main thing on Sunday. And the Strokes would be great 17 years ago. Wait a second. The Strokes are the legacy act. I thought that 25 years. Yeah. About 2010, 2011, 2012 right. It feels like when their popularity was really doing this. And so, yeah, I mean, we get old fast, Barry. You told us this a long time ago.
Yeah. Thank you. That's not my point, but actually it was more, and Russ reminded us last week talking to John about what Rick from Church Boners said. Bonnaroo, how did he phrase it? It's always about the kids. We're the ones getting old.
Well, yeah, people who say that, you know, Bonnaroo is changing. No, it's really you who are changing by getting old. And Bonnaroo is forever young is the way he put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great observation.
Yeah.
Which leads us to Bourbon and Beyond. Because when I saw that lineup, that's my wheelhouse. But that's for old people.
It feels like my group. Everybody's wheelhouse somehow, unless EDM is the only thing you want, right? Yes. If that's the only thing you want, then it's not yours. Majority of everybody else doesn't want a bunch of EDM. Majority of everybody else wants this kind of stuff. And it is, they've done it 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row, our eyes are wide open as this thing gets announced.
I mean, when you sent it to me, I was like, that's great. And then when I opened it up again later, I was like, it's not real. Because I'm still pretty convinced some of these bands don't even exist anymore. Like the ones that I want to see. The Adam Ants and the guy.
Yeah, you know, Adam Ant. Like I had to look at this thing five times.
Trick, I know they do. Squeeze. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to look at it five times to keep getting it done. I just wrote it all down because I didn't have a printer over here this weekend. I needed that more than ever. Forget the headliners. I mean, just run it. I'm not going to go super fast.
The further you go down the list. Yeah.
That's it. That whole like 4-line to 10-line.
Yeah.
My God, that's my playlist.
It's weird. It says
that's
it's
my
alphabetical.
Album list.
It says it's alphabetical order, which is not at all. So I don't know how they do that. But it is. It just never ends, just like it has the last couple of years. But Foster the People, Portugal the Man, Goose, Isabel, Frame the Lips, War on Drugs, Jet, Cracker, just to name some that I would have to see. Then there's a list twice that size that I'd be pretty happy to see. Mm-hmm. I haven't even talked about a headliner yet, you know, and like it's nuts. Barry, more of your thoughts.
I don't know. I mean, it's, again, I'm not kidding. It's like if you were to come and go through my albums of vinyl that I play a lot, there's a bunch of them on there. And I had a list. I'm going to keep looking. But, you know, again, the Adam and the Ant. Violent Femmes.
Oh, Violent Femmes
are on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are a few bands that I would leave town for, as you guys know. Devo was Violent Femmes would be one.
Yeah, Violent Femmes. I didn't know Violent Femmes. Well, actually, they played the Caverns not all that long ago. But
that's my point. I didn't know they were still there.
I didn't know they were still band until they did that. Lisa Loeb, Joan Jett, Infamous String Dusters, Daniel Donato, Our Lady Peace. I mean, we can just do this for the rest of our lives.
Oh, my God. Tees. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plain White Tees. I mean, that's 20 years ago. Easily. Better Than Ezra. St. Paul. There. Yeah, yeah. I hear you
say. Our buddy St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Yeah. Better Than Ezra. County Crows.
And just from a personal.
Is County Crows there?
County Crows is on there.
Oh, my God, Sunday. They are. Mm-hmm. County Crows are there.
Just from a personal, because I thought it was cool, and she was cool. Noah Cyrus, Billy Ray's daughter.
Yeah, Noah on there.
You know, she was great to talk to us at Moon River.
Here's the thing, though, is that this is years in a row, and that's why I want to get Patrick Whelan from Sobrew, who is a regular on the show. He'll be on with us sometime this spring. he was not available this week. He's from Louisville, and they do, I don't know what they call bourbon and beyond. It's not, you know, sober and bourbon and beyond a roux. I don't know what they are. Sober roux. I don't know what the hell they call it. But anyway, he is gone for many years, and I'd like to get his thoughts, and we will, but Reddit, which is not the best place, but sometimes it's the only place to get people's reactions to things. I read about how the festival itself is not that great. The logistics, the lines, the issues that we all are familiar with seem to be.
That's what we talked to with Daniel that we had on who went, and he was more critical on the infrastructure and the camping and all that.
Lineup can't be beat. It looks like shit. If you see a picture of this place, it's an outdoor convention center on gravel near some horse tracks, racing tracks.
Yeah. And it's right next to the airport.
And you're nowhere, like, Louisville's a cool city. Doesn't matter. You're nowhere near Louisville.
You're nowhere near the city.
You're not. And the planes are an issue.
We talk real quickly before we get away from Bourbon and Beyond. I mean, I talk about my favorite bands on here a lot, and we make jokes about how obsessive I can be, from Oasis to Pearl Jam, and then I become more of a Dead fan than I ever was in my younger years. But the band Cracker, David Lowery, the old Camper Van Beethoven connections and all that stuff from the, I mean, huge 80s counterculture stuff, they are my favorite band that aren't the bands that everybody's heard of. And they're on this damn lineup. So
they were a great bar band, were they not?
Yeah. Oh, they're still a good bar band. That's a whole podcast and pretty quirky, fun story for those who care, which isn't going to be most of you out there. But this lineup just doesn't end. It just keeps going.
My question is, when are we going to finally pack it up and go to Louisville and go to this thing? Our jaw's been on the floor 3 years in a row looking at these lineups. Louisville ain't that far.
No, it's sure Louisville not. Is one of the easiest drive, as opposed to St. Simon's Island, which is one of the worst. Louisville is an easy drive, and it's a great city. I love Louisville. If it were the one downtown.
Forecastle.
That I'd be
was
all
the
over.
One to go to.
Yeah. This one is not convenient, in my mind.
And they do have camping. Right. I remember we've talked to somebody. Right. It seems to be very primitive the way they have it set up. So I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to Patrick and we'll crash his house.
If this lineup were downtown at Forecastle, we'd be there. We should mention, though, too, because I think it's interesting. The headliners are Foo Fighters, Mumford, Chris Stapleton, and Dave Matthews. I mean, that's a completely different approach than Bonnaroo, would you not agree?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of double headliner at each night. Foos and Queens, Mumford and Musgraves, Stapleton and Red Stray Clays, and Dave Matthews and Hootie. I mean, you're covering everybody from 35 and up, age-wise anyway. I don't know. I tell you, the reason I don't run up there, I haven't yet to hear somebody say, boy, I went to Bourbon and Beyond, and it was awesome. I've yet to really hear anybody say that. They've said it's good, the music was fun, I'm glad I went, but this sucked.
It's been a lot of mixed. And I've heard, like, if you don't go VIP for this thing, you have no chance of getting close to the stage because of the way they structure the VIP areas. It's right up front.
That's a good point. I think our friend of the show that we know, or several of them, actually. It's sort of like what you just said, Russ. If your favorite act, you know, if you get to see an act that you really want to see and you got good seats or you paid for VIP, then it's a great festival. Right. That's kind of the vibe I've been getting. Like,
I mean, I'm only going off of hearsay. You know, I can't know. I haven't been there, but I don't know. I can tell that this is not... It's not a desirable location, and us so and such in love with the Bonnaroo thing, the location, the situation, the environment, it all matters just as much as who's on the stage. And if I go and it's a gravel knit lot and I can't get around and drinks are a bitch and lines are awful, then I don't give a damn that, you know, Dave Grohl is screaming into a microphone for the 50th time.
Looking right at me, deep into my Yeah, no, I get it. But like Shaky Knees, I mean, that park is amazing. That's if I'm going to a city fest, that's what I want.
Well, speaking of shaking knees, I believe this week we should get a lineup.
Oh, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe by the time this episode is published, we might have a lineup.
But well, shaking knees does imminent. It right. Shaking knees does it absolutely right.
Wonder
for a
how
city
many of these acts we might see on that.
A city festival is, they just do it right. And it's such a good rock and roll fest. So us as being mm-hmm. a show full of rock and roll guys.
And just before we move on, just so we can get lots of click and all that, I think we all three can agree that Dave Matthews sucks. Are we in agreement? Or is that just
I agree. However, if you put Dave up there with Hootie and the Blowfish and Counting Crows, I'm more likely to stick around for Dave. I mean,
Dave's band is amazing and probably worth going. But yeah, I'm not.
Dave Matthews, I don't think sucks at all.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought we were all three in agreement.
No. I'm not a big fan of his catalog, so I don't really need to go to shows. But I like Dave Matthews a lot, a hell of a lot better than I like Dave Grohl these days.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you in that.
No.
That is the only band, Brian, and this is the truth. If I'm driving in the car and my mind is 1,000 miles away and he comes on the radio, I start shaking and I gotta hit a button. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. Well, I mean,
well, Counting Crows for me would be the one I would want to see if I had to pick one, you know.
Oh, I'd imagine Four Non Blondes is on this line.
Yeah,
Four Non Blondes is on there. The Flaming Lips are on there.
That's
yeah. Father John Misty. Yeah.
Violet Femmes and Four Non
our friends Hey Nothing are
yeah,
on
Hey
there.
Hey Nothing, all the way at the bottom of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could spend an hour longer. I know. When are we going to go?
And then just quickly, we've never talked about it before, but this Summerfest in Milwaukee, if it wasn't for this Bourbon and Beyond, we would be looking at this as like, wow, this is pretty strong. And you look at it now, and it's not really, because the headliners are not near as good. But Summerfest has been around for like 40 years or maybe even 50 at this point. Like, it is like our Riverbend.
Yeah.
County fair-esque.
Yeah.
Except they have good acts. We didn't get great acts at our local festival that's long gone now, but
that's not true.
Well, to the level that this Summerfest does, that this thing
100% agree with that.
Every year, I mean, it's in Milwaukee, so we're talking about a not a top, 20 market necessarily, but a certainly
plus
a
it's
top
50. Four different weekends here.
Yeah, it goes. Got Jelly Roll, Muse, Ed Sheeran. I mean, these headliners are actually pretty good. Post Malone.
Muse.
I haven't even gone. They have a lot of the same as Bourbon and Beyond does, and then they got several, Amel and the Sniffers, which I have been starting to get familiar with for Bonnaroo this year.
They'll be at Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm. Flip Turns on here. Hot Mulligans on here. These are all Bonnaroo acts. Tash Sultana. If I said that right, Jesus, this one gets better
She's
and better.
Great. I love her.
The more I look at this, it gets better and better and better here too. Little Feet, Hailstorm, Hailstorm out of nowhere. So they do things pretty cool but very different style of city festival with more of a county fair aesthetic. But I've never talked to anybody who's been. It's
yeah, you have. You talked to me. I haven't been. My brothers played it. When they were with the band Overland, used to play it back in the late 70s, 80s, and loved it. My brother Bob, who hates everything, had nothing but good things to say about Milwaukee and Summerfest.
Well,
it's been around that long.
Milwaukee is an incredibly cool city. It's way underrated for how cool of a town it is. I've been there twice. I love it. Get me out of Chicago. Get me out of anywhere, South Bend. Get me away from any of that down below the lakes. Get me up around the corner. I love Wisconsin and Milwaukee. It's fun.
Yeah, I've heard nothing. But just talking about Legacy, so right next to each other, Styx and David Lee Roth. But then also you get the Dream Academy. Who knew they were still around? The Family Stone, Alejandro Escovedo.
Christopher Cross.
Chris Cross.
Christopher Cross.
Not a good interview. He was not a nice guy.
Echo and the Bunny Man are on this lineup.
Jim Croce's son, AJ, is on this thing. Modern English. Oh, my God.
10,000 Maniacs. Gene Simmons Band. Yeah.
Megadeth.
Life in a, what is it?
Megadeth. Yeah.
What's the modern
Gin
English?
Gin Blossoms.
Oh my God, we just
Flo Rida.
This is funny.
Bodines. And a lot of these are the same. A lot of these bands are on both.
Sister
festivals.
Hazel.
Sister Hazel.
Very
Spin
much Doctors. A river band.
Soul Asylum. Of. I know.
Buck Cherry, yeah. Living Color.
Buck Cherry, yeah.
Spin Doctors. Soul. Oh, I love Soul. We've talked, you know, y'all know I love Soul Asylum. Jesus, this is a great lineup too. I just thought it was pretty good.
I think it gets better the further you go down. It's kind of opposite of.
It sucks. We're having another year of which is the next festival to have a better lineup than Bonnaroo.
And I'll put it down. So, Megadeth and Spoon. Did you guys say that already?
Spoon is on there.
Candlebox.
Spoonbox.
Bahamian. Oh my God. But right below Bahamian. What would DJ Jazzy Jeff be without Will Smith?
I don't know, but somebody's gonna find out.
Living Color. God, Living Color was great.
Yeah. Lisa Loeb's at this too. I mean, this is down on the can barely see with working eyes. How little, like, oh man. Between Jazz Fest, Summerfest, and Bourbon and Beyond. What else is there?
Yeah, you could literally go to these two festivals and probably most of our playlist would be covered.
No doubt.
The Jayhawks. By the way, if you've never seen the Jayhawks live and they come to your town, go see them. They are amazing. Let's take a quick break.
All right.
All right, guys, we are 3.5. Coming on 3.5 months away from the greatest June event in our lives. You guys ready?
No.
I am ready. I am totally ready.
I will be. I am not. A couple things I wanted to mention about our beloved festival that it's just it. Right now, most of the online chatter is nothing but negativity, like everywhere you go. And I'm not going to pile on or get involved with that all that much. I'm just using it as an observation. But two things in the last couple of weeks. So group, from what I understand, and this is just via Reddit and a few other things, really, they're not selling group very well. Like, as far as the group camping, you got to get up to 24. And if you don't get to 24, then they have some kind of process of combining. I'm not very familiar with this process, so I don't want to talk about it with any kind of authority. But a lot of the Reddit threads were talking about how almost none of them, maybe only one, has gotten to the 20, hit to that 24. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're going to not do it. Doesn't mean you can't. No, don't. Be concerned. You're still
well,
got
still
a spot.
Time. Oh yeah.
You still got a spot no matter what. It just might not be exactly what you expected, but people who do this group thing have, I would hope, a lot of patience and understanding because you're, you know, of what the nature of it is. It's really awesome when it's done well, but so I don't know, just one thing to discuss amongst things you want to discuss. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, which comes in this, it's in the same vein of a discussion, and I'm sorry to be on the negative end of things, but another price increase just hit, and I don't know when the next price increase comes. This has been baked into the festival formula for selling tickets, the tiered pricing, and it's almost a way to create a supply and demand push, an extra amount of supply and demand. The problem is when your demand isn't there and your supply is, and you continually raise prices over and over. Now it's not a cute, cool little idea. It falls along with everything else that every one of us have to deal with, which is becoming again a problem like it was in 2022. Price increasing everywhere. Because our world is on fire, almost literally, we're not paying attention to 20 cents here and 30 cents here and a dollar and a half here. I pay attention to everything I spend dollars on, and it's going up and up and up and up and up everywhere in my life. And when I see, and Bonnaroo tickets going up, I don't think it's cute anymore. I think, you know what? Bad idea. Maybe stop raising the prices because no one's buying them anyway. Maybe bail out of that idea and just say, we're not raising our prices. Just when you've got the money, buy tickets to our festival. If it takes you a minute, we're not raising them. We're not going to do that now. I don't know. it's just a messaging. It's just like it one time tickets go up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We want to save you money. Yeah. Now it's like, you're not saving me money. I don't want the tickets anyway. And you're going to, you know, like it's the attitude is different. And
What are your thoughts, Russ?
These tiers, they're based on like number of tickets sold, right? Or supposed to be like
that's what
there's so many in this group, and that's how it's supposed to be.
That's what it used
to
be. But
you're right. If the
and just to jump on, like Brian said, it's a push. Oh, I better do it now and don't wait because it's going to go up tomorrow.
Creates urgency.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, but if the tickets aren't selling, then theoretically, right, they should have a bunch more tickets at this tier, right?
Yeah, the numbers of that's always been.
Well, they never tell the numbers. You don't know how many tickets are in this group and that group, and
we don't know how
they're selling.
We don't, but there you cannot make me believe that they are running out of tickets in the last tier, so now we're on to the next.
I agree with you. Yeah, it sounds more just of an arbitrary price hike, really.
It's the old formula. They're just using the same formula, and it feels like in this setting, maybe abort the old formula because I don't know.
They're willing to abort everything else. That's what I was kind of thinking of, number one.
That's a good point.
Number two, group. Group was, you talk about taking a risk, and in the past, it was a beautiful risk. It was like, I'm gonna buy a ticket with the belief that I'm going to get thrown in with 25 or 100 people I've never met before, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm going to do all of that and get there and, you know, God forbid what happened last year happened. I don't think it's that you're going to get bad people. I don't think it's any of that. I think it's just, do I want to take this risk, to Brian's point, with my money, my 20 cents for this thing that's already a major risk? I think it's a combination of all of that. It's the price. Yeah. It's the, again, could be the lineup. I don't know.
And just to be clear, Barry, all three of us have talked about this. The value for a Bonnaroo ticket is about as good a value as there is in the festival circuit.
For sure.
Absolutely. It still is. But it doesn't change the optics and the messaging of, we're raising prices again. We're raising prices again. Guess what, buddy? No one wants your tickets. We're raising prices again. We don't want your tickets.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and it creates a negative vibe online instead of that. And it used to work. Again, it used to work. It was like, oh my God, they're about to go up and I've got to get my last paycheck here or put it on layaway. I can't wait to go. I don't want to get left out. FOMO's killing me. And now it's like, you know what? You can have your FOMO. Like, and I think every industry is dealing with that right now.
Yes. And I think we're also going to have to revisit the fact that they released the lineup in early December versus the way they used to do it. Because, like, right now, not only are they increasing ticket prices, but they're releasing as we said, the wear stage lineup dropped huge with John. But, I mean, is that enough to push a major, ticket increase?
There's also no late additions like they've used to have in the past.
Right. Not yet.
I don't believe there will be any. We'll see. So that would gather excitement. Every year it seemed like, and it's not every year, but many years, Chapel, obviously 2 years ago is the one you can pick out. But there's these, because of the excellent booking of the show, early there's something you didn't know. And in 4 months, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, we got this too. Like there's, This lineup feels like the same day it was released on December 3rd or whatever, the 5th. Lineup as it was then.
That's what was so surprising to Russ and I last week with John. John was like, this moved it from a 5 to a 7.
Okay.
The wear lineup. That's not you and me. You know, I don't know that Closey or Big Gigantic does that for you.
Big Gigantic's a good pull. I mean, that's a good pull. I know that.
Okay. And moving it, I think moving it into that corner where the comedy tent was is great. I'm very
excited. That's probably what they should have done instead of experiment with that Xfinity or Infinity stage.
Anyway. I'm very excited about that.
Totally agree.
Also, to that point, we know it's going to be a smaller footprint. So if you are in group, The good news is you're going to be a lot closer to Centaroo than you've ever been before, matter what.
Probably.
Well, not if you're in group. Group is not close to Centaroo.
It will be. Yes, it will. It have to be because the whole footprint's shrinking. They're not going to just stick you way the heck out where they used to have you. And then you walk by empty spaces.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have to see when they.
One of the things they've always been really good at is making the forum feel packed.
Oh yeah,
many people are there,
They're gonna make it feel packed. Whether it's gonna it be or not, we learned that in 2016 the hard way.
But that's a good thing. Yeah, it gives it that vibe in my mind.
I don't fault them for that at all. And I don't mean to sound so angry about it. It's just these, you know, price increases right now are just on everything. It's just a sensitive subject. Like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe not as much, but now something costs more. It's like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, not another one.
My green onions are up 75 cents. What are we doing here, right? And so, I mean, maybe I'm bringing too much of my own anecdotes of life into something that maybe other people aren't thinking about as much. I don't know.
Oh, I think a lot of people are thinking about it. I don't think you're far off. Price is a big deal to a lot of people.
It's just when the regular conversation is this lineup sucks, I don't like it, and everything about Bonnaroo is nothing like it used to be, which Brian doesn't agree with. I think Bonnaroo is very much what it used to be. But when that's regularly your conversation and then, hey, prices increase again, you know what?
Sure. I mean, this lineup I think was a harder sell to a lot of people to begin with. And it's now an even more harder sale when it's, okay, well, now it's more. Now it's more, you know.
Again and again. And it's going to do it again. Like, you know what? You can just have your ticket, Bonnaroo. Like, I think that's what some people are thinking. And I hate that.
There's usually, four tiers of pricing that they go through? I don't know what we're on now, but yeah.
I think we're on three. And, you know, I don't know. I don't agree with a lot of the negative commentary on Reddit and other areas. I don't agree with a lot of it.
Yeah, no.
But that's what it is. That's what's happening.
Yeah,
right?
But that's also, I just thought of this. You've been to every one, as I've said many, many times. I've been to all but four. How much do you think it's changed?
Overall?
Big picture. Yeah, for not just lineup specific, just big picture.
If we're saying that that this is something different and special and unique from anything else, it's still exactly that.
I agree.
It's still exactly that.
I agree.
Is it the same as it was in 2007, 8, and 9, and 2, and 12, and 17? No, but that's that's nuance and minutia discussion.
Yeah. I still love it as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah. Is it different than anything else and it has a unique factor like nobody else? It's the exact same thing it's always been, and that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's what you were expecting me to say.
I wanted you to be honest, and I knew you would, but I mean, if anybody has a perspective.
I don't like, they've made changes that I have not approved of personally.
Sure.
But I get over it in minutes and move along, you know, and that's.
And then kind of see the wisdom or when they fail and they fix it generally.
Well, I am actually concerned. Like, I don't like the commentary of, well, it's going to be better for us there for the less crowded farm.
Okay.
I don't agree with that. We need. Tickets sold.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
We need tickets sold. We, meaning anybody who cares about this, need tickets sold. So, like, at least it'll be better for us. That's it really won't because they'll shrink it down and make it kind of crowded anyway. And
it's
got
to make money. That's a great point.
It's got to sell tickets. It's got to. And people were arguing about stuff, and someone came in, I wish I had it in front of me, and said, I'm not worried about the weather. I'm worried about 30,000 tickets being sold. Mm. And I usually don't get involved in any of these on Reddit because I don't want Bonnaroo people seeing me doing these discussions, honest truth. And I just said this because I don't care. I'm not concerned about the weather.
That's a great point.
I'm not worried about the weather. You shouldn't be either. Nobody should be worried about the weather. You should be worried about them only selling 30,000 tickets.
That's a great point. I mean, the three of us give up a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning to talk about this every week because we love it. And I wouldn't do that for anything else in my life.
Not even for a Def Leppard tour.
I can't think of anything. I can't think of any, not even my beloved Notre Dame football. I can't think of anything. Well, but point
being, I didn't mean to make a diatribe out of it.
No, it's just, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it's fine.
I am concerned about ticket prices. I mean, ticket sales. I am, as a consumer of this product and a somewhat on the fringe of a, you know, a part of, I'm concerned about it. I really am.
Sure. So, yeah, I've told you guys, all I want to do is this again next year. That's my goal. So, yeah, I want it to be successful. What were you going to say, Ross?
Well, you know what's free? What's still free? Hit and subscribe. You can subscribe to the What Podcast. We do it every week for free. Hey,
there's a little bell right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's why he's the
You know, like you said, we're doing this every week. And, you know, we have a lot of people that listen every week and we appreciate it. And we want to keep it free and we want to keep doing it. So, yeah, of course, we want Bonner to continue and we want him to sell a lot of tickets. So,
yeah.
Really do. But anyway,
mm-hmm. Hit that like and subscribe. Yeah. Any other, what else?
Did you guys see this that came across, I think, yesterday, the day before? Members of Tame Impala, Geese, Pond, and King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard hit the studio together. There was a little tease of a video of them jamming, basically, in a studio.
I guess
in Australia. Yeah. And so, you know, no official announcement has been made or anything, but there's, you know, maybe we're getting a psychedelic supergroup going here.
Yeah, if that sounds a little obnoxious.
If they're all in the studio.
Thank you. I knew. My first thought was, that sounds like a terrible idea.
It might be, yeah.
Not all supergroups are great.
No, they're not.
That just, I mean, because a lot of those bands make a lot of noise. So
a lot of noodling. A lot of noodling.
Put them together.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
I hope it's great. We're making jokes, I think.
There's just a short video clip out there.
I'm mostly making jokes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, as usual, we said this will be a 20-minute episode. We're coming up on an hour, but I've enjoyed it very much. Good stuff.
We're glad to get you safely back into your air chair.
Same for you.
Welcome back.
Back in the air chair.
Same for you. And please, hugs and kisses to Beth and all that. Hugs and howdy. And
we got a good story, man. We got a good story we'll tell on this show soon of very well-known musicians that are in a small club down in her home club that she shoots for. Long-range tease. We'll do that here soon, next week.
Yeah, we'd love to have her back on and catch up with her.
Yeah.
We got a good one to talk about. She's been a little bit flu-like symptoms since the Vegas trip. But, yeah, we'll do that soon. And thanks, guys, for making this work today as we had to.
Yeah, thank you both for your patience. All right, take care. Peace.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.